Richard J. Powell, John Spencer Bassett Professor of Art and Art History, Duke University, and 2018-2019, Edmund J. Safra Visiting Professor at the National Gallery of Art, discusses Archibald John Motley Jr.'s Portrait of My Grandmother from 1922. Powell describes the arresting power of the artist's loving portrayal of Emily Sims Motley, a woman born in slavery and hardworking all her long life, asserting its place among the other Jazz Age paintings for which the artist is well known. This portrait of the artist's grandmother, Emily Motley, is painted in oil on canvas and is about 3 feet tall and 2 feet wide. She's shown from the knees up, sitting with her hands in her lap against a blank, pale grey wall. She squarely faces the viewer and makes unflinching eye contact. Her piercing, golden brown eyes are set beneath slightly raised eyebrows. Her deeply creased face is long and narrow, above a thin neck, and her skin is dark brown. She has horizontal worry lines on her forehead and a vertical one between her eyebrows. Her eyes have heavy lids and circles beneath them, and creases extend downward from the corners of her nose and pursed, rosewood-colored lips. Her black hair is sprinkled liberally along her hairline with gray and is parted down the middle and pulled back in soft waves, tucked behind her ears. A window or other light source illuminates her from the front, highlighting the contours of her face and neck and casting a dark gray shadow on the wall behind her to our right. Mrs. Motley's white blouse is buttoned all the way up and has a narrow collar at the back. A heart-shaped black brooch at her neck has a bright ruby-red stone set at its center. The sleeves of her blouse seem a little more sheer than the fabric over her torso, and they're rolled up over her forearms. She wears a gold band on the ring finger of her left hand. Her fingers are long and elegant as they rest extended in her lap. An ink-black skirt is mostly covered with a white apron spread across her lap. White paint skims along the surface of the canvas, especially at the edges of the apron. The work is signed and dated in ochre-colored paint at the lower right corner, with bold, stylized letters, A. J. Motley, Jr., 1922. The wood frame is about 2 inches wide and is painted white between two bands of muted gold moldings. Professor Powell stands in the gallery in front of the painting. The walls of the room are painted dove gray above wood wainscoting below.
Archibald Motley is famous for his Jazz Age paintings, images of Paris and Chicago with hothouse colors like magenta and turquoise and purple, nighttime scenes with carnivals and picnics. This is what he's really well known for. Before he created those works, however, he was a recent graduate of the School of the Art Institute of Chicago. He lived at home on the south side of Chicago with his father, a Pullman porter, his mother, a housewife, his youngest sister and a nephew, and his 80-something-year-old grandmother, Emily Sims Motley. This painting, Portrait of My Grandmother, created in 1922, is in some ways an outlier from those Jazz Age images. On the other hand, there's a kind of a visual specificity and a psychological power that this portrait exudes that in many respects makes it very much a part of a jazz moment, particularly the 1920s. Granted, this is an 80-year-old woman An ex-slave born in Kentucky in 1842, moved at some point in the 1860s to Napoleonville, Assumption Parish, Louisiana, and had moved with her family to Chicago around 1894. Granted, she has this old 19th century life and experience behind her, but Archibald Motley, the artist, has captured this octogenarian with a kind of a power and physical insistence that doesn't speak to being retired and being very close to death. She actually dies at the end of the 1920s, but speaks to, you know, her presence and her presence in his life in particular in 1922. Archibald Motley leaves us with a little narrative about his grandmother. Her bedroom was literally right next to his studio in that Inglewood kind of townhouse or row house that they lived in. And during the day, she would smoke her pipe, and in the evenings, when it was time for her to go to bed, Archibald Motley would carry her up from the main level all the way up to the top floor where his studio was and her bedroom was. And he documents that she says, "You're such a sweet boy to do this for me." What perhaps she also had embedded in that sweet boy description was his focus on her as a subject in art. And what we see in this painting is, again, direct. She's not looking at us askance or in a kind of a contrapposto pose. She's looking directly dead on at us. She is dressed as an elderly woman would be dressed, in a linen blouse with an apron. This would kind of speak to her domestic life, and this was something that she was very proud of with her family. I like to start with the hands, because when you start with the hands, you see arthritis, you see gnarled knuckles, you really get the sense that this is a woman who worked and struggled and did lots of things manually throughout her life. And what I love about those hands is that in most portraits, there's a kind of a vanity sense of not wanting to show the rough side of someone's demeanor. But in this case, Motley says, that is your identity of Grandma Emily. And so we see those hands ever so elegantly placed on her laps. And we really, really feel her story as a laborer. And then we move up from those hands to that face. And the face has lines, and gravity has kind of pulled her skin down on her face. And yet there's a beauty in that. We're in a moment where people love plastic surgery and want to transform themselves to something, you know, eternally youthful. But Motley understands that his grandmother's face is beautiful and powerful precisely because it has endured and struggled and seen perhaps horrific things as an ex-slave that many of us can never, never conceive. And there's beauty in the struggle, there's beauty in the wrinkles, there's beauty in all of that. The part of this portrait that for me kind of encapsulates all of that is that brooch. When one sees this painting face to face, you notice that this brooch is impasto. In other words, the paint is raised on the surface of the canvas, and one really feels that brooch when you physically stand in front of it. And it's black and gnarled and gritty, and you can really see how he has let the paint coagulate and stick on top of that brooch. And then right in the tiny bit of the middle of the brooch is this red dot. Now, when I look at that, I'm not thinking of the cameos of genteel ladies. I'm thinking of some sort of jewelry that speaks to struggle. Some sort of decoration, some sort of ornamentation that speaks of a hard life and that she wears with great, great pride. And even within that struggle and that anguish and that gnarledness of that brooch, we see that one tiny speck of red, which for me is blood. For me, it's life. For me, it's insistence, and in some ways is the only dot of red and vibrancy in this otherwise gray, white painting, which perhaps has resonances with Whistler's portrait of his mother many years earlier. there's another specter in this work beyond her indelible presence, and that is the shadow. And one could say, well, it's just very perfunctory that if you're in an interior space, the artist is trying to depict in a realistic way the lighting that on that figure and then the shadows that come as a result of a figure standing in front of a light. I think that's too easy an explanation. I mean, for me, that shadow that so elegantly creates her shape, but then moves off to the side is poetic. And it's a shadow that I think perhaps goes hand in hand with the brooch. That shadow speaks to her life, but not the life in Chicago in 1922, where she is in her final years. That shadow is another life. Perhaps that shadow is the life of violence that many slaves experienced in the South before emancipation. She was born in 1842. So when emancipation comes in 1863, she would have been a young woman and she would have remembered what slavery was like. So that shadow, in a very, very elegant and understated way, speaks volumes about one's past life, one's past struggles. Archibald Motley clearly loved his grandmother, not only because of this portrait, which bears witness to that love, but we also know that he had a second portrait, and that portrait is on view at the Acklin Art Museum at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. It's called Mending Socks. There are two very different portraits. As I said, the portrait in Chapel Hill is a kind of a typical genre scene with lots of information and things that the eye and the public can kind of move around on. Whereas this portrait that was done 2 years earlier, one perhaps works with the aesthetic less is more. It's a work that draws you in. You can't be passive when you stand in front of this painting. It's an active portrait. It's a portrait that demands of viewers that you have to engage with me. I'm looking at you head on, and you have to look at me as well. And so I love that active part of this portrait. I also like the fact that there's a history kind of embedded in this work, that we know her story through genealogical work. But I'd say overall, and I want to go back to the beginning of what I said, Archibald Motley is a consummate painter. And we can see from this work that he's not just a consummate jazz artist of the scene of the 20s and nightlife and vivacity and flappers and chics and all of those characters from the jazz age. He's also an incredible documenter of lives, of people, of personalities, of the truth that people can exude through their bodies.